Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Okay, are you ready for the word tonight? Are you ready for the word tonight? Is anyone hungry to get something from the word tonight? Okay. We're going to read from Genesis chapter 32 today, an amazing story. And I've got to say, after being asked to preach, I went on a hunt for an open heaven experience, someone who had an open heaven experience with God. And I believe tonight that the word is really going to come alive and that God has something so powerful to say to us tonight. God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you. We respect it and we honor it tonight, God, that you will speak tonight through your holy word. So for every person, including myself, God, you can come now in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. All right, Genesis chapter 32, verse 24. To the day. Okay, so Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched out as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "You will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans, and you have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called this place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, yet my life was spared." The story of Jacob is a really interesting one. When he's born, he's actually a twin. He has a brother called Esau. The Bible tells a story quite graphically about how Esau's parents were quite surprised when Esau came out a very hairy man. So even as a kid, he's just like hair absolutely everywhere. It's funny, just side note, I've been getting Facebook ads for laser hair removal for my back, and I'm like, mate, your algorithm is wrong. There's no hair on this back. But Esau probably needed that. You know what I mean? Like, he came out a very, very hairy man. And as they delivered, Raymond, could you please help me do up my shoe? As they delivered the baby, right? As they delivered the baby, Esau come out a little, like the parents were so shocked, surprised. The little hairy baby comes out, and holding on to his heel was his brother. And so they named him Jacob, which literally means heel grabber, heel catcher, someone who trips someone over, supplanter, the one that's trying to deceive to get in front. He was, from the moment he was born, because of one thing that he did, Jacob was named deceiver. And I got to say that in this generation, I believe that there are people that are living under a name or under a banner because of one thing that they've done. And like Jacob, that banner, that identity, that label becomes their reality. So if you read on in the story of Jacob, you will see that Jacob, every opportunity he gets, what does he do? He deceives. He supplants. He heel grabs. He trips people over so that he can get in front. One day, his brother's a hunter, and Jacob liked to cook. So Esau comes in from a long day of hunting, and Esau is quite a dramatic guy, hypochondriac, thinks he's about to die of hunger, comes into his brother and says, "Oh my gosh, I'm going to die if I don't get something to eat." Now, being the older brother, even though it was only by seconds, in that culture, the older brother got the blessing, the older brother got the wealth. It was you wanted to be the older brother. And Jacob, seeing the opportunity that's in front of him, says to his brother, "Okay, I'll give you some soup, but if you give me the birthright, the ability to be the first son." And there, Jacob trips. Jacob deceives. Jacob takes advantage of his brother and lives right up to his name as deceiver to get in front. When his father's about to pass away, the father has to bless the older brother. And his name was Isaac. And Isaac is just about to pass away. So Jacob, with his mother, devises a plan to deceive again. And he puts on goats. He puts on, this is how hairy Esau was. Jacob had to put on goat skin, hairy goat skin, and go to his father so his father could rub his hairy skin and deceive his blind father who couldn't see so that Jacob could get the blessing. You go on, and now it's not only Jacob living up to his name, but Jacob ends up going to his uncle Laban because he's running away from his brother Esau, who, funny enough, decided that it was his life mission to kill his younger brother. He's running away from his older brother, goes to Laban, and what does Laban do to him? Laban deceives him. And because of Jacob's identity, the banner that was over him, because of how the world defined him, because of what he'd done and the resulting identity, Jacob completely and totally lived up to his name as deceiver. His life was marked by deception. What's strange is, this is what strikes me, is that through this whole process, Jacob was having encounters with God. Jacob was meeting with God. Jacob was having like visions of Jesus in heaven. Jacob was getting promises straight from heaven into his heart, into his mind. What's crazy is that even though he had these encounters, these brief small encounters that were no doubt encouraging, which were no doubt important, which were no doubt full of hope, Jacob was deceiver before, and Jacob was still deceiver afterwards. His reality, even though he was having amazing God encounters, his reality didn't change. Until one day, just before he was about to confront his past, just before, after 20 years, he was about to meet his brother Esau again, God gave him a special encounter. God, at the perfect time, God gave him a special encounter where it would not just be a fleeting vision, it would not just be a moment, but God had set up an appointment if Jacob would take it and said, Jacob, if you want to, we can have a meeting right now where something could change in your life. I grew up in a diving family, and my mum and dad were divers, and mum kept diving, and so when we got the opportunity, all my family, we became divers. And I'm actually going on a dive holiday real soon, but I'm heaps scared because it's the first time I'm diving without my mum. And like, you know, just mum brings so much security into my life, you know. It's so funny, like one time I started like bleeding out of like places in my head that you shouldn't bleed. But like the fact that mum was there, it was all good. Like mum could sort it all out. Anyway, I've got this memory of, So if you don't know much about scuba diving, you have a tank of air and you've got this thing called a BCD, and it inflates and deflates so that you can stay buoyant in the water, so that you don't have to keep your level. If you inflate it just enough at that depth, you can just glide. It's like walking on the moon. It's actually quite surreal. Anyway, I'm there and I've seen this giant turtle, and they have moss on them. Like, is that what it's called? Moss? Yeah. And you can like draw things in it and write your name, and it's crazy. And they're just like giant turtles just munching on the grass on the seabed. And I turn around and my sister Taylor, speaking of turtles, my sister Taylor has inflated, gone up behind my sister Fallon and inflated her BCD. And so Fallon is like 18 meters underwater and Fallon is like blowing up like a balloon, and she is quickly rising. And Fallon, she looked like a turtle, like trying to swim downwards. Instead of deflating, she's like trying to get downwards. It was very funny. When you dive, though, one of the best parts about diving is not particularly in my experience, is not actually being down there. Like, I love being down there, but it's the lifestyle of diving, because for every hour that you spend down there, you get 1 hour down. It's called compression time. You're under pressure. And then if you want to keep diving, you have to go back to the surface for an hour before you can go down again. And it's called decompression time. It's called decompression time. And if you continue to stay down, the pressure will get to you and there'll be serious medical consequences in big red letters in your manual, leading to death. So you want your decompression time. And there are times in life where God makes an appointment with you and he says, you know, mate, it's time to have a bit of decompression time. It's time where it's not just, you can't just have 5 minutes in my presence. You can't just have one moment or a fleeting vision. What you need is you need hours of decompression time over here. for what I have for you. So Jacob is given this opportunity. His brother's coming tomorrow. He's definitely going to run into his brother. He's going to confront his past. And so he sends his family on ahead of him. And there he is just about to fall asleep because it's just gone dark. When all of a sudden a man appears wanting to wrestle. So Jacob and this man get into a wrestle. Jacob, somewhere along this journey, knowing that he was alone, knowing that in that day and age, you can't just drive up to someone and meet them, you know what I mean? Knowing that this was a divine encounter, Jacob, along that way, wrestling with this man, said, I am not going to let go of you, God. I am not going to give up this moment. I have had fleeting moments before, but not this time, God. I am going to have a, I'm not letting go until you bless me, until it sinks in. God, I am not leaving until you bless me. And God gives him an opportunity to have an extended encounter. Can I say, I believe that conference, for you, it's time for an extended encounter. You've had enough fleeting moments. You've had enough just in and outs. You've had enough Macca's drive through. What you need is you need days in the presence of God. You need days. I grew up with my mum going to conferences. On my 14th birthday, my mum, she was going to a conference in America, so she flew me over for my 14th birthday to LA for 2 days. I was only there for one night, literally. Flew in, went to Disneyland, and flew back. Like, it was like a crazy quick trip. I flew over like a king, because you're an underage traveler and the Qantas flight attendants look after you, and I got a row to myself, and I was like, this is sick. And on the way home, though, my mum flew business and I flew economy. I think that as mum, like, you need to make sacrifices, mum. No, I'm just kidding. She makes enough sacrifices. It's fine. But I wanted to go see my mum. And there was a curtain separating business and economy. And I tried to sneak through the curtain. And the flight attendant would turn around. She would say, no economy passengers allowed in the business cabin. And she treated me like a peasant. And ever since that day, my dream, my lifelong goal, just everything that I've desired is just to get through the curtain. So my family moved to the Philippines, and then I live in Australia, they live in the Philippines, and that's where we went diving and all of that jazz. And Philippine Airlines, Filipinos are the nicest people in the whole entire world. And I would often fly Filipino Airlines. And so they're so nice that I took it upon myself, like, no one was in business class, so it's called self-upgrade. This is what you do. You just wait till the lights go off, you know, eat your economy meal. You're not about the meal anyway, okay? You can get good meals elsewhere for $30, okay? You just, that seat is worth thousands, okay? It's a seat that you're after. And so you would go and you would sneak through the curtain and there'd be no one there anyway, because I don't know why, but anyway, there was no one there. And you lay down and you can't even go to sleep because you're so shocked that you're laying down on an aeroplane. Like, it's just such a bizarre feeling, and you're just giggling to yourself like, and then the flight attendant, beautiful Filipino lady, would come up and she would say, oh, excuse me, mum, sir, are you in the right seat? Can I see your boarding pass? I said, oh, it's okay, I'm not in the right seat, sorry. And then I'd go back to my seat and I'd be all good. Then one day, I didn't have to self-upgrade. I know, I got an upgrade. I went to the business class lounge and I sat in Emirates business class, and they treated me, they knew my name. Mr. Moore, what would you like to drink? Mr. Moore, what would you like to order for lunch? And I was like, this is me, people. I was like, this is where I belong. This is where I belong. What's crazy is that before this Emirates encounter, I was an economy passenger that was sitting in business. But this extended encounter in business class changed me. Now I am officially a business class passenger that is sitting in economy. Extended encounters do change you. Your extended encounter at conference will undoubtedly change you, and you will be a different person. You may walk into a similar reality, but you will be different. It won't be a fleeting moment over here and you live out your old reality. It will be such a powerful encounter over here that it will be the new you living in a slightly old reality until it catches up. There's something about an extended encounter that will change you. Second thing I believe that it is going to be perfectly timed. It is going to be perfectly timed. You've got to study it to realize it, but the timing of this encounter was so important for Jacob, because he was promised by God in the visions that he had before that you would be a great nation. His father was Abraham, who had to wait 30 odd years to have Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob, and Jacob, if he could make it, would be the fulfillment of Abraham's promise in terms of the nation of Israel. But he had a moment with his brother where his brother would either kill him or the grace of God would let him go free into his destiny. He had a moment where his past would confront his future, and depending on if he had his moment or not would determine which way his destiny would go. And I believe that at conference, you're going to have a perfectly timed encounter. No. There is. Maybe you have not considered that the way that you're living, the reality that you're in, the identity that you come under is actually not what God has for you long term. And your ability to jump at the opportunity that is in front of you at Horizon Conference is going to be the deciding factor whether you stay or whether you go forward. Your ability to jump at the extended encounter will determine whether all of those smaller encounters will eventuate to anything. Your ability to come to conference with expectation, I believe, is perfectly timed in the will of God to unlock something for you that will be life-changing. The third thing, I can't remember it, I'm going to open my notes. A revelation that leads to a new identity. A revelation that leads to a new identity. Jacob means deceiver, but Israel means God provides. Jacob completely lived up to his deceiver banner, identity, name. But because he said yes to the extended encounter, God gave him a new identity banner name that he could now live up to. You, me, how we have grown up, the moments that have defined us, the mistakes that we have made, the things that have caused the world to go to places and become things for us that it never should have, do not have to define us. What happened, the way that the things that people said to us, it does not have to define us. All we've got to do is give ourselves time to wrestle with God. Give ourselves time where we can hold on to the presence of God and not let go until you change me, God. Not let go until the blessing sinks in. Not let go. He had been given promise. He had been given a calling. He had been given a destiny. He'd been told what his legacy was to be. But what he needed to do was to hold on to Jesus at all costs and say, God, I'm not letting go. You know, the tug of war that I'm in, God, it's too strong for me. I need to hold on to you. And I'm not letting go until you change his name, you change his identity, you change his banner. You know, last year, I do not know how I got like this. I do not know how I got like this, but I got like this. I did not believe the promises of God over my life. I would get prophetic words and I just could not believe them, to the point where I would stand there and someone would be praying for me and I would be saying to myself, I don't believe this. God, I want to believe this, but I'm not talking, it wasn't even doubt. Doubt doesn't cover this. And it went on for about 9 months. So I came to Horizon Conference and I was so expectant. I needed it to break. I desperately needed it to break. My family needed it to break in me. Our youth ministry, they needed it to break in me. My future family needed it to break in me. And to the point where even a guest preacher gave me a word at some point in last year's conference, and I was standing there thinking, I cannot believe this. I cannot believe this. And it was so saddening to my soul. I would think, you've got the wrong guy, mate. And it would be that horrible negative voice in my head, you got the wrong guy. No, I do not believe this. I can't believe this. No, it's wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. But in the midst of it, I still kept saying to myself, but there's 3 sessions left. But there's still 2 speakers left. There's still 1 day left. And then one day, it wasn't someone prophesying from me from stage, but I came to the altar because the preacher happened to preach about doubt on the final night of conference. Happened to preach about doubt. And I came down to the front and one of you somewhere came and you spoke so accurately into my situation. You were praying the perfect prayer and you were praying that doubt in my mind, doubt in my thoughts would break over me. And right at the last second, the blessing came. And there has not been one bit of doubt in terms of my future ever since that moment. Ever since that moment. And can I say, I have lived a different reality this year. I have lived a completely different reality in 2019 to what I did in 2018. And it's because I committed to the wrestle. Can I say that over you, you may have some hard things going on, and I do not want to devalue or undermine the pain that may be happening in you. But can I say your extended encounter is coming where you hold on to Jesus for dear life and He will bless you. He will bless you. I was studying, I've been in the Old Testament, studying the Old Testament for a while, and wanted to get into the New Testament. So I started looking at, the Gospel of Mark, actually. And what I noticed is the thing that Jesus talked about the most is the kingdom of God coming near. The kingdom of God is near. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. He's saying literal near, like I'm in front of you. The kingdom of God, for us today, if I can put it real simply, represents a new reality. That if you were to look at Jesus and believe in Him and put your trust in Him and not let go of Him, there will be a new reality for you. It will not be the kingdom of the world or the kingdom of darkness. It will be the kingdom of His Son. There is a new reality available to you. For those who are believers, for those of believers, fleeting encounters, nice, beautiful, encouraging, hope-filled moments in the presence of God have been amazing, but there's an extended encounter coming for you. But for you who are not a Christian yet, for you who have not put your trust in Jesus Christ yet, there can be an encounter tonight where you right now could experience a new reality. I remember what it was like when I walked in and the unforgiveness that I held towards my father, the way it would eat me up, the way that it was literally defining my life, what he did to me. Yet I remember the weight of the world, the weight of abuse falling off my shoulders and a new reality coming the moment that I opened my heart to him. Now, I believe that God brought you here for a reason tonight, my friend. If you've never sat in a church service, if you've never heard the good news about Jesus Christ, I believe that tonight you are here on divine assignment. God had set up an appointment for you. Can we bow our heads, close our eyes? I would love to help every person in the room today who has not given their heart to Jesus, not experienced grace, not experienced forgiveness, to have an opportunity to receive Jesus today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, we're going to pray this prayer together. On the count of three, we're going to pray this prayer together. Everybody after me. Dear Jesus, I come to you tonight. I believe in you. I believe that you are God, the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross to pay the price for all of my mistakes, all of my sin. And today, I believe that you rose again to give me new life. God, I need a new reality. I've come to you tonight. I believe in you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if tonight you know that that prayer meant something to you, that you were praying that for the first time to open up your heart to Jesus, on the count of three, I want you to give me a wave and say, yes, that was me. Ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. Quickly give me a wave. Beautiful. Beautiful. Is there anyone tonight? Amazing.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.